Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Wednesday, July 15th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page XVIII. Of the second edition. We're going to read and comment on paragraph one, which begins with, in the spring of 1940. Today's readers are Phyllis D. for the 12 steps, Lisa E. S. for the 12 traditions, Penny L. C., Janice P. M., and Devorah S. Our newcomer greeter is Nadia B., and we'll close out with some announcements from Robin P. The reference number for today's, for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Tuesday, July 14th, is 14980. That's 14,980. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for July 15th is 14987. That's 14,987. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Each OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Phyllis D. to please read the 12 steps.
Yes, thank you, Elaine. This is Phyllis D. from Central Illinois, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry these messages to compulsive overeater and eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Phyllis D. And I will now ask Lisa E. S. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Thank you, Elaine. This is Lisa E.S., recovered in Northern California. Here are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa E.S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, please press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Using star 1, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the forward to the second edition on page XVIII, reading paragraph 1, and I will ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. In the spring of 1940, John D. Rockefeller, Jr., gave a dinner for many of his friends, to which he invited AA members to tell their stories. News of this got on the world wires. Inquiries poured in again, and many people went to the bookstores to get the book Alcoholics Anonymous. By March 1941, the membership had shot up to 2,000. Then Jack Alexander wrote a feature article in the Saturday Evening Post and placed such a compelling picture of AA before the general public that alcoholics in need of help really deluged us. By the close of 1941, AA numbered 8,000 members. The mushrooming process was in full swing. AA had become a national institution. So being just in, it's still in its growth stage of just being a brand new program, you know, the members knew they needed to get the word out. And so this opportunity arose to go to this dinner and to share their stories. And I think about how even today, how do we spread this, the word of recovery, the message of the solution? It's by sharing our stories, so that has carried on through the decades, carried on from AA to OA to this meeting. You know, we tell our stories, we share our experience, strength, and hope. And that was able to happen and to be able to make an impact, to bring others to the AA group. And I know there are many here that are new or that are struggling And yet, hopefully you hear, you come to these meetings and hear the message and hear the hope and know that there is a way through the misery of our compulsive overeating disease. But here the message was being carried both by word of mouth, but then also in print. So the book was printed, this AA big book that I hold in my hand, and this message was in black and white on paper and able to be distributed. And what an amazing process that has been. I can't even fathom how many copies of this book are found around the world today. But at that time, it affected the numbers and they grew. And today it still affects the numbers and we continue to grow. And then it was written in print and an article about the program. And that spurred on more interest and more membership. You know, the mushrooming process, the way it happened for AA, the way it happens for OA, for this particular meeting, you know, the way it has grown over the years from a group of people that could fit in a room to thousands of people and hundreds that can be on the line here to share today. I'm grateful to be a part of all this process, to have heard the message and to know that that message is the solution that works for me today and that I can pass on to others as they were passing it on back in 1940, 1941, and continued all the way through to 2020. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Appreciate your service. Okay, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to comment on this paragraph?
I heard Irene B.
And who else?
Kara L.
Deb E.
Plenty of room. The water's fine. Anybody want to jump in? Woo-hoo!
Sivia, VG.
Yeah, you're so funny. Anybody else want to get in the lineup? Okay, I'm sure people will be very inspired once they hear from Irene B, Kara L, Deb E, and Sivia VG, and Sherry KB. Okay, awesome. So Irene B, you're up first, followed by Kara L.
Good morning. Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for your beautiful service. I'm Irene B., a gratefully recovering bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I love this little paragraph. For one thing, I recognize the name, and it's like, yay, something I can relate to. And I heard in the earlier meeting that Rockefeller was very much against drinking. Well, you know what? I'm very much against compulsive overeating. That makes us also very sick. Such a pandemic of this disease. And I'm just really jealous that and concerned and frustrated that we can advertise and scream at the top of our lungs that there is a solution for our problem. Because I lived in compulsive overeating since age 6 and then bulimia from age 18 to age 58. And then God delivered me. God gave me the power that I didn't have to get over this horrible bulimia. And what I want to share is so much, I don't know where to begin. First of all, I love the gratitude that Bill has, because for me, gratitude is the antidote to all negativity. When I'm feeling bad, all I have to do is focus on the positive and on the things that I have to be grateful for, and it won't be long, less than a minute, before I start to feel peace and serenity instead of anxiety. And I also need to share that for me, I had the buildup of human emotion that I was powerless over, and I did not know the source of that buildup of human emotion. And I have learned that the source of that buildup of human emotion were my core irrational beliefs that I was worthless, that I didn't matter, that I was nothing. And all of those beliefs that I held in my prehistoric brain, intellectually, I know I have value. Intellectually, I know I am valuable and worthy. But my prehistoric brain, my automatic brain, my hardwired brain doesn't know that. It's like there is no connection between those parts of the brain, and that's why I was held prisoner for so long until the power greater than myself relieved me from this obsession, relieved me from the compulsion. So I'll just say that therapy didn't help me, but the steps are helping me get uncover, discover, and discard. I got to discard all that crazy crap that lives in my brain. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Irene D. Kara L., you're up next, and you're followed by Dev E.
Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And I don't know why I wasn't going to share today, and then I was so inspired by the reading this morning. And it just struck me as they went and got a book, right? And we take for granted today that there's people around to sponsor us, there's people to help us through, there's meetings that go through the book, or there's so many resources today. There's a Zoom meeting here, there's recordings of the old timers, there's all this available to us. And I was just like, inquiries poured again, and many went to the bookstore to get the book. And I was thinking this morning, like, I used to read my On Awakening out of online. I had an app, but lately I've just wanted to hold the book in my hand and read it and open it and read it today. And how many times do I turn for solace, for information, for instruction, for directions to this book? How many things have I discovered over, the last year and a half of intense study in this book, that I've had it for 17 years, and it's only been in the last year or two, year and a half, that I'm really studying it, and I'm really taking to heart the words, that I'm really identifying with the people, the stories in the back and the people, that I really see that there is a solution. It really is a gift. And I think of the early years of not having this gift. How desperate would I have been for a direction, some direction to a solution to something that I could not handle on my own, and only a higher power could handle for me. I'm ever so grateful today at the chain of events that led to what we have today. And I'm ever so grateful that, we're able to look back and read the history, and that we're able to identify, and that we're able to pass it on to others so that they too can have a spiritual awakening. Thank you. Thank you, Team Wednesday, for bringing us this meeting today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Dev E., you're up next, and you're followed by Sylvia VG. Please go ahead, Dev.
Good morning. It's Deb E. in Southern California. So what this paragraph made me think of today was how excited I used to get when, some new diet or exercise program that I discovered, something that was on the news, like these words really stood out to me. The news of this got on the world wires. Many people went to the bookstore, wrote a feature article. You know, it's like when I was always looking for the next miracle solution that was going to get me thin and that was going to get me the body, get my body exactly how I wanted it. And this kind of, this paragraph just reminded me of, it has like all the makings. It reads almost like one of those things where it's like it was becoming popular, a word was getting out, people were getting excited. And it's anything but that. It's nothing like a fad or a diet that just, you know, comes and goes and does nothing. It's something that has lasted for over 80 years now and continues to work and so well. And I'm glad that I had excitement for this in the same way as I had excitement for the stuff that didn't work for me. And that I stuck with this and that this is what has worked and this is what has lasted. And, I, you know, I was just wondering, like, what it would be like today if 12-step programs had just started now with the way everything just gets posted on the internet and just, like, how much more access we have to the world. And I wonder what kind of impact, you know, good or bad, that would have had. And I love having the books. I love, you know, looking through and going through, and I love how Vision, I have, you know, similar experiences a lot of people share, years and years in program, years and years of using the big book and studying it in, you know, step studies and everything, but never going through line by line the way that we do on this meeting. And I really appreciate that. And I like kind of dissecting it and looking at the words and really paying attention to how well the words were chosen, you know, deluged us and mushrooming process. Like these are big words, you know, they're describing big, powerful, now I can't find the word, but, you know, big things were happening, big numbers, lots of people. And it's just, it's such a gift that we have this. And I'm so glad that I live in a time where this is available. You know, like I think of all the people who lived before this big book came out and before 12-step programs started, before there was a solution that lasted. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Right on the button there, Debbie. Thank you so much. Okay, Sylvia VT, you're up next, followed by Sherry KB, and then we'll take another line up for paragraph one on page XVIII. Please go ahead, Sylvia VT.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. There you
are. Oh, perfect. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everybody. So grateful to be on this meeting. I am a historian by nature and not by profession, but I think if I would have done it over again, you know what they say. My name is Sylvia VG, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And looking at this article, and you can go online and see the article, and one of the things that amazes me is they still sell the reprints in the World Service for AA. They still sell 22,000 letters, 22,000 pamphlets a year is what it says. So, what I loved about it was when you look at the article, it talks about the service. You know, it describes some of their stories. It is kept anonymously. Nobody's name is revealed. But it's all about how they did service purely for that altruistic sense of helping others so that they can maintain their recovery. And so it reminds me of how I have to keep doing service, and not just service in terms of my meeting type service, but my 12-step service in terms of sponsoring and how important it is for me to sponsor. Because when I wasn't sponsoring, the weird thing was is I couldn't stay abstinent. This is just a reminder that I have to maintain my service and my sponsoring. And in order to do that, I have to maintain my abstinence. And when other people are relying on my guidance to go through the big book, and I do also learning from vision people, I go through the big book line by line with every single one of my sponsees, and it's something that helps me because I'm constantly reading the big book. I don't put it down like I used to for 6 months and not look at it. I don't, you know, I go through fourth steps, you know, pretty regularly now with my sponsees, and it reminds me of who I need to be and who I want to be and how I need to continue to work with my higher power to be that person. The other interesting thing is there was another article published in 1950 at Bill W.'s request by Jack Alexander, and again, it definitely helped AA continue that momentum. And all you need to do, if you're interested in taking a look at it, just go online and Google it, and you'll find it, and it's really quite interesting. I think the more we know about the history of AA and why it was set up on how the traditions came out of some of these things, it's better for our recovery. Thank you so much for for your service and for listening and for being here for this meeting.
Thank you so much, Sylvia VG. Okay, Sherry KB, you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup.
Good
Please
morning,
go ahead.
Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thanks so much for your service, Elaine, and Team Wednesday and everybody on the line. Welcome, newcomers. You know, I love hearing, I was up early this morning listening to the other meeting, and I loved, somebody described mushrooming really interesting, the way it grows and how it processes and everything, and it was kind of like a description of what happened with AA and how it's affected so many 12-step programs and affected us. And where I want to go with it this morning is there's interesting history about John D. Rockefeller. He, you know, he was known for giving and helping people a lot financially. And he saw the things about AA and realized that the last thing they needed was money. They needed support, but they needed, you know, to be able to publish and whatnot. And so he did have that dinner party, and he didn't give Bill or Bob the money. He let other people help them. And I think the whole point is, you know, when we sponsor people, we help them. We're not their nurse, their banker. We don't give them money. We're here to help each other with this disease. And, you know, I feel like my higher power and everybody's higher power has a hand in all this. And I just think it's amazing how it mushroomed, like, from 2,000 to 8,000. And, you know, speaking of that, you know, this week, July 18th, is a Vision for You's 8-year birthday, you know, anniversary celebration, and we're going to hear 12 people this Sunday on each step for the anniversary edition of A Vision for You, which I think is amazing. And if you look on our website, you know, right now there's 7,220 people as of 7 a.m. this morning that are registered with A Vision for You, and that just warms my heart knowing how many people out there are wanting recovery, getting recovered, doing the work, us helping each other. And this stems from this book. Thank God for this book that was divinely inspired so that we could be here today and I can be here on the phone with you today talking about this and talking about, you know, A Vision for You, which is a part of OA, not apart from. It's just a healthy meeting and how we can mushroom this type of meeting, not only on the phone or Zoom or whatever, but face-to-face, when we all get back to what is ever is called normal again. But I know that my higher power has a hand in all this. And, you know, it's just beautiful to me the way we're unpacking this. And it's just making me think about how lucky I am that my higher power had a hand in where I was at. Because when I first used to listen to this big book, I had no desire. But now I can't put it down. I love taking people through it. And this is an amazing book and is divinely inspired. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB. Okay,
So we're ready to take a lineup on page XVIII, paragraph 1, which begins with in the spring of 1940. And though we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Ken W.H.
Ken W.H.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Kathy Joe P.
Kathy Joe P. There's room for more.
Juanice N.
Juanice N.
Did you get me, Elaine? Kathy Joe P.
I got you, Kathy Joe P. Thanks.
Okay.
Kathy K.
Oh, Kathy K. All right. And we have room for one more.
Danielle J.
Danielle J. That's going to do it. Awesome. So we got Donna B., Ken W.H., Kathy Jo P., Janice N., no, Juanice N., Kathy K., and Danielle J. So please go ahead, Donna B. You'll be followed by Ken W.H.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you so much for everybody's service and for everything that I've heard so far. I, too, get the spirit of wanting to go out and carry the message and to be of maximum service and to do and to do and to do. When I am inspired and excited by the message of the Big Book, the message of recovery, a real solution, and the history of how the program grows from one person to the next. And there have been times in my life in which I have been, I want to say deeply devoted, but in addition to deeply devoted, there was something more behind that devotion that had me doing and doing and doing and doing, and at the expense of being present for my family. And during the pandemic and being largely at home and having my children at home and my husband working from home, it's been even more challenging for me to determine how to balance my presence at work, my presence for my family, my presence for recovery, and my presence for carrying the message. I recently had the opportunity to carry the message in a very big, vocal, loud, public kind of a way, which I initially accepted and ultimately declined because I can't do everything. And I've made peace with being a small, very small, anonymous piece of this program of recovery and doing service one person to one person, and with very few people. And sometimes that feels like it's not enough because that's a part of my disease, more, more, more. But for today, I feel at peace for having declined that opportunity and for being absolutely devoted and a part of this movement, but a small part of this movement. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Okay, we have Ken W.H. up next, and you'll be followed by Kathy Jo P. Please go ahead, Ken.
Thank you very much. I'm humbled to be on the meeting today. Actually, I'm humbled, period. I came out of relapse at the end of last year and just started back on my merry way, like I'd always done before. And then the pandemic hit, started the phone meetings, and somebody suggested vision. And I started going to the vision meetings pretty constantly back in February or March. And I'm going to be honest with you, I got tired of hearing day after day, basically, in many cases, it seemed to me at the time, the same topic over and over again and the same people sharing. And so I started looking elsewhere. And I am back now, starting in this big book from the start, paragraph by paragraph, deeply humbled to be doing this really in this way for the first time ever. And I've had a big book in my possession for over 38 years from AA, and never, ever, although I've read all the prefaces and everything else, I've never studied the way y'all do it here. And I'm humbled by that, deeply humbled by that. And now I'm so deeply committed to getting and staying, I am abstinent now and staying this way. It's such a gift to have the book and to have people who are invested in it in this way. I had the privilege of living in another part of the world at one time and in another language and meeting a man by the big book. In other words, I saw him walking toward me and he had the book in his hand. I could tell by the cover what it was. And we started a meeting together in another part of the world in AA, and that's kind of the way it worked. The book did it. I'm just so grateful that you're all here and doing what you're doing. And I missed the first few weeks of this, but I'm catching up. I'm listening to the replays, and I'll be caught up here shortly and being right on time with you. But thank you so much for doing what you're doing. I am deeply, deeply grateful. Ken Woods Henderson, a compulsive overeater. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. I'm very grateful for it, too. Glad you're here with us and everybody. Okay, now we've got Kathy Jo P., and you'll be followed by Juanice M. Please go ahead, Kathy Jo.
Kathy Jo P. in Minneapolis here, and one of our fellows on the line calls A Vision for You the Renaissance of OA. And when I read this, that is what I read here, is that John D. Rockefeller gave a dinner for many of his friends to which he invited AA members to tell their stories. And, you know, the inquiries poured in again, and many people went to the bookstore to get the book. And that's what we're doing on the line, 6 days a week, most days three times a day, except for Sunday, only we stay on longer. And we are telling our stories over and over and over. And how the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and working the steps gave us the recovery that we needed to live in freedom from the food. And, you know, as we do our day-to-day things, the food can get soft, but our lives can get loud. And what happened in the past when our lives got loud is that we would pick up the food to make our lives temporarily softer. But in this book, we have a solution, and we learn how we can have our lives not be so loud. Whether it's resentments or fears that are coming up for us, there are ways and tools that we have now that we can get a reprieve from life being loud. And that's what we get here, and that's the answers that we were seeking. We were not seeking a way to, you know, get thin or the perfect diet. What we needed is a way for our life not to be so loud. And it happens by doing this work, working with others, and doing it all over again every single day. And it is the Renaissance of OA, and it is very exciting. And, you know, only the 8 years in, and I came in, it'll be 4 years ago. And I am so grateful that I can be a part of this and that I can have the recovery available to me. And I'm so grateful to our founders and all those that have gone before us in carrying this message. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathy Jo P. And now we have Juanice N, and you'll be followed by Kathy K. Please go ahead, Juanice.
Good morning. My name is Juanice N, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater in Simi Valley, California. And reading this just really blew me away in the fact that, you know, when I look at how Bill, remembering how Bill was an unwelcome hanger-on at the local bars, nobody wanted him around, didn't want to have anything to do with him. And now John D. Rockefeller, I guess today of Warren Buffett or Bill Gates would be calling me, what that would feel like, you know, in my group of OA buddies to come to his house and speak in front of his friends. You know, this is an astonishing thing happening here. You know that and the paragraph before talked about the article that was written was Alcoholics and God. So these people are talking about God, no less, to the people with the money in the world, you know, and they're calling them to hear what they have to say. You know, this is an amazing message. It's an amazing movement. And when he talked about the mushrooming, the period had begun. You know, that's rapidly growing and expanding, you know, very rapid growth. And then how the Jack Alexander wrote a feature article in the Sunday Evening Post and placed such a compelling picture of AA. And compelling is evoking interest, attention, admiration in a powerfully irresistible way. So, I mean, people were, like, hungry for this thing, and not even just the ones who were the alcoholics, but the world was interested. The world was interested in this thing, you know, and all of this coming out of this is the power of God. All of this coming out of a man who was an unwelcome hanger-on at the bars, and nobody wanted him around. So, anyway, it's just an astonishing, you know, showing how the life was turned around by God and made into something that was just more than he probably could have ever dreamed. So anyway, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you too, Juanice. Okay, we've got Kathy K up next and followed by Danielle J. Please go ahead, Kathy K.
Thank you, Elaine. Thank you for your service and thank you to everyone who's here today. I'm Kathy K, recovered compulsive overeater in Boston, and it's just wonderful to revisit this history and to take notice of what has happened in the past 20 years in our program, let alone since the AA book was first written. I know for me, the Vision for You meeting was really what made the big book accessible to me. I started reading the big book about 10 to 12 years after I came into regular OA, but really it was like a foreign language to me. And although I went through a big book study with the help of AA groups, it was not until I got to the Vision for You meeting that I found much more identification with the text and with my fellows as a result of our shared study of. And you know, I am a slow learner. It took me many years to really appreciate that. The more I stay in the big book with these meetings and in my work with fellow sufferers, the more I am connected with my higher power, which I now call God. And I came to this program an agnostic, and I had a lot of work to do, including letting go of old ideas and becoming willing to consider new ideas and becoming willing to listen to the experience of our fellows. The program is so extraordinary and so accessible, and the Big Book is what really lays the foundation for long-term recovery. I'm so grateful, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathy K. Danielle J., you'll be our last share for today, so please take us out.
Hi, thank you so much for your service and for everyone on the line. Danielle J. from Bellevue, Washington. And just, you know, learning about the history, and I think, you know, there was a conference, and I wish I knew, I wish I could remember what year it was, but Bill was thanking all the people that had made where they were at that time possible. And I was just astounded by how, you know, their fledgling little group and how they had needed all these people, and how, you know, it's like every little, you know, even, you know, clergymen and doctors and, you know, prominent business people like Rockefeller and others, you know, they needed them. It was like little stepping stones, and each person kind of got the word out a little bit more. And now, you know, it's a household name. I mean, I was in school and it was in a textbook, and it's just, I mean, I suppose some people may not know, but many, you know, it's hard to not know about it. And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, I always never really understood that phrase that, you know, comparing my insides to people's outsides, but it kind of reminds me of that, because, you know, I just kind of assume that, oh, well, they're just better and they just rose to this, and but looking behind what it really, really took and all the work and what things really, really take beneath the surface to become, you know, what they are. And it helps me to kind of accept myself and my, you know, all the things that I wish were better or different, or, you know, have to grow and take time, you know. And I guess kind of like a mushroom, it all just kind of takes time in its own little way. And it takes all these people and all these little miracles. And God just makes it happen, you know. It's like we walk these little steps, and if we're walking in the right place, then God just kind of lets it grow. So anyway, thank you so much for allowing me to share, and I'll pass.
Oh, thank you very much, Danielle J. Yes, I was going to say maybe we could fit in a two-minute share here. Anybody have a passionate desire to jump in for just 2 minutes? How about if we go ahead and transition the meeting then, if nobody wants to share? Give a last call here. Okay, that's going to give us extra time to take newcomers' phone numbers. So I hope that you'll let us have the opportunity of meeting you, greeting you, and inviting you, welcoming you to this meeting. So thank you. Everybody who has shared will now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Janice P.M. please read A Vision for You?
My pleasure, Elaine. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do. Lost my place. What you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Pass.